Little Margie, starring Gail Storm and Charles Farrell, transcribed in Hollywood. Margie Albright is a normal, well-adjusted person, but like many other normal people, she has certain little peculiarities. And one of those peculiarities is a tendency to be slightly superstitious. Up to now, this hasn't affected her life one way or another. But now, well, Margie has just come home from a day of shopping, so let's see what happened.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, hello, Margie. Been shopping?
Mm-hmm. I bought a hat. Look, do you like it? And, Dad, the most horrible thing happened to me today.
I know. I've just seen the hat.
No, silly. I'm talking about the ladder.
What ladder?
The one I almost walked under. Walking under a ladder can lead to a terrible disaster.
And by not walking under it, you avoided a terrible disaster?
Well, certainly. That is, if you don't count the man behind me.
Well, what about the man behind you?
When I jumped back, I knocked him into a mud puddle.
Well, Margie, that's terrible. Now, what did the poor man say to you?
Shall I leave out the bad words?
Well, certainly.
Nothing.
You see, being superstitious causes trouble. It's just a lot of nonsense.
It is like heck.
Mrs. Odette, you've been snooping at our keyhole.
Yes, and it's pretty tiring crouching like that. Believe me, I'm a poop snooper.
Mrs. Odette, don't you agree that certain things can cause bad luck?
Absolutely. I'm very careful about ladders, black cats, number 13, and things like that.
Well, how in the world can a black cat cause bad luck?
Oh, it does. It really does. One night, my second husband came home and stepped on a black cat. Boy, that was bad luck.
In what way?
It woke me up, and I beat the heck out of him for staying out late.
I'm very careful about mirrors, too. I do anything to avoid breaking one.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Mrs. Odette, don't tell me you believe it's 7 years bad luck if you break a mirror.
No, that's one I don't believe in. My fourth husband broke one, and he didn't have 7 years bad luck.
He didn't?
Nope, he blew up in an explosion the next day. Goodbye.
Margie, you and Mrs. Odette baffle me. Here it is the 20th century, and you still believe in that old-fashioned tommy rot.
Well, it's not that I believe in it. I'm just being careful. No sense taking risks, you know. It's just tempting fate.
Oh, this conversation is idiotic. It's getting late. I'm going to bed.
So am I. Good night, Dad.
Good night. And while you're asleep, don't walk under any ladders.
Good morning, Mr. Albright.
Hi, Freddie.
Morning, Dad. Oh, hello, Freddie.
Good morning, you beautiful, ravishing, delicious creature, you.
Why, Freddie, I don't have anything other girls don't have.
I know, but what you have is better organized.
Go on.
How about going out with me tonight? Would you like to go see a movie with Tyrone Power?
Oh, I'd love to see a movie with Tyrone Power. Who will you go out with? Pass the coffee, please, Dad.
Here you are.
Thanks. Gee, I had such a wonderful dream last night. I dreamed I inherited a tremendous fortune. I'm still excited about it.
Oh, forget it. It was only a dream.
Oh, I can't. This is the third night in a row I've had exactly the same dream.
Well, you think you had a dream. How about mine? I dreamed about the funniest thing last night. Wasn't it a funny dream, Margie?
Well, how do I know what your dream was about?
Well, you ought to know about it. You were in it.
Freddie, forget your dream. Mine was more important. It's a sign.
Oh, for goodness sake. First it was ladders, black cats, and mirrors. And now it's dreams. Believe me, dreams don't mean a thing.
Yes, they do.
Oh, no, not again. Mrs. Odessa, can't we say anything in private?
Oh, you can trust me. Anything I hear you say goes in one ear and out over my private broadcasting system.
Mrs. Odette, don't you believe that dreams have a certain significance?
Well, of course. Now, you take the dream I had last night. I dreamed that I was all alone on a desert island with 8,000 men.
Alone on an island with 8,000 men?
Yes.
What happened?
What could happen? They built me a boat.
I thought that dream was supposed to mean something.
It does. It means I should learn to swim so I could sink the boat and swim back.
Well, if you're such a dream expert, does Margie's dream mean anything?
Well, it all depends. Margie, was your dream a pleasant one?
Well, sure. All that money and everything. I like to have dreams like that.
Well, I can tell you what to take at bedtime so you'll have pleasant dreams all the time.
What?
Here's a formula I used myself a few nights ago. You take a glass of ginger ale. Mm-hmm. Into it you pour some whiskey.
How much whiskey?
Oh, as much as you want. Then you stir it with a little stick with a wad of cotton on the end of it.
Well, what for?
That makes it a soft drink. I made myself one of those, and believe me, I had a nip-and-tuck dream.
A nip-and-tuck dream?
Yes, first I took a nip, and then I tuck another.
Well, if you people don't mind, I'd like to enjoy my breakfast without hearing any more talk about dreams. It's childish.
I've had the same dream over and over again that I'm going to inherit a fortune. And I firmly believe that I'm on the verge of something big.
You are a big disappointment.
You know, Mr. Albright, lots of people have little superstitions. They're not so terrible.
Well, of course they're not. Every profession has them, in fact. Pilots don't like to go up without their good luck shoes. People in the theatrical profession won't whistle in a dressing room or throw a hat on a bed.
Well, how do you know so much about the theatrical profession?
Oh, I used to know a burlesque comedian.
Burlesque?
You know what burlesque is. That's the place where you can inspect the merchandise, but they won't let you take it outside.
Well, go on.
Well, my point is that these little superstitions are harmless, even lend an air of exclusiveness to each profession.
But
I'm afraid Margie is carrying it too far. That inheritance dream of hers, for instance. Uh-huh. She's even making a list now of what she's going to do with the money.
That's bad.
Pure fantasy, that's what it is. Now, I'd like to cure her of all those crazy notions of bad luck, good luck, and dreams.
Have you thought of a way to do it yet?
No, not yet, but... Have you got any ideas on how to do it?
Sure. Take a rabbit's foot, rub it in poison ivy, and then give it to her and see how much good luck it brings her.
Freddy.
Yeah?
Freddy, it's certainly strange the way things work out in nature.
What do you mean?
It takes the head of a jackass to talk about the foot of a rabbit. Margie, here's a letter for you.
A letter? Well, let's see who it's from. Well, it's from a law firm. Cottle, Bonnell, Pomerantz, and Thayer.
Gee, sounds important. Open it up and read it.
My dear Miss Albright.
Dad! What is it, Margie?
This letter. It says a man with the name of Death Valley Pete just died and left me a trunk full of gems.
A trunk full of gems?
Well, they say the gems are on the way. But, Dad, I never knew any Death Valley Pete.
Oh, yes, you did. It happened many years ago when you were a little girl. I got friendly with an old bum in the park. And when I gave you a dollar for some candy and ice cream, you gave it to him. He swore he'd never forget you for it.
Gosh, I don't remember that at all. He was Death Valley Pete?
Yeah. I guess it pays to be kind to people.
No, it doesn't.
What do you mean?
I was kind to a man once and he tried to take advantage of me.
You mean he insisted on making love to you?
No, he refused.
Well, in this case, it certainly paid. Imagine, a trunk full of gems. And all for me.
Margie, here's a big, heavy trunk for you. It was left downstairs with the janitor.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Drag it in, Freddie.
Okay.
Here, I'll give you a hand.
All right.
Leave it right there, Dad. You see, my dream of inheriting a fortune did come true, and you laughed at me.
You win, Margie. I guess you were right.
A trunk full of gems. I'm wealthy, fabulously, incredibly wealthy. My eyes will probably bulge out looking at such a fabulous collection. Come on, Dad, help me get the lid of this trunk up.
Oh, I can hardly wait to see it all.
There it is, Margie.
Oh, Dad, I don't understand. Is that my fortune?
Looks that way. Loaded from top to bottom, too.
But there aren't any jewels in there.
Well, they weren't supposed to be. Just gems. And that's what they are. Hundreds of them.
Those are gems?
Sure. Razor blades.
Starting this coming Tuesday night, two familiar favorites for Mystery and Thrills will be heard on the same evening on most of these same stations. It's a new night and time for Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, moving to Tuesday night. And it's CBS Radio's Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, returning to begin a new series of action-packed murder mysteries. Remember, this coming Tuesday night, here's Suspense at its new night and time. And Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, again at the Star's address. And now back to My Little Margie. Well, the huge fortune that Margie thought she was inheriting turned out to be nothing but a trunk full of razor blades.
Dad, I can't figure it out. If I gave a dollar to Death Valley Pete, as you say I did, why should he express his gratitude by leaving me a trunk full of razor blades?
He probably used that dollar to get a shave.
Oh, stop laughing at me.
Well, Margie, I hope this cures you of putting so much faith in dreams.
Boy, it sure does. I dream of a fortune and I wind up with a flock of razor blades. There must be 1,000 of them here.
I paid for 1,200 of it.
What did you say?
Gosh, Margie, it wasn't my idea. It was your father's.
Quiet, you.
Oh, you played this trick on me, huh, Dad?
Oh, well, what harm is there in playing a little joke? My mother once played a very funny joke of my father.
What was the joke?
Freddy.
Now, Margie, I just wanted you to stop putting so much faith in dreams. It was becoming an obsession with you.
Your father's right, Margie. There's nothing in dreams. I had an experience myself once. I was going to the racetrack one day, and the night before, I had a dream in which I saw nothing but hats, all kinds and shapes.
You dreamt about hats?
Yeah. And then the next day at the racetrack, I looked over the program, and there was a horse named Hat Check Girl in the first race. So I put all my money on it.
What happened?
Hat Check Girl finished last.
Who won?
Some horse by the crazy name of Sombrero. Well, it just goes to show you there's nothing in dreams.
Well, there's nothing in your head either. Well, Margie, I played a trick on you, and I'm sorry. There's nothing more I can say. And now I've got to get to the office. I'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Bye. Well, I'll see you tonight, Margie. Long.
Mrs. Odette, they haven't heard the last of this. Imagine pulling a mean, nasty, despicable trick like that on me.
What are you going to do about it?
That's me now. There must be some... Mrs. Odette, what's that piece of paper sticking out of your pocket?
Oh, I don't know. I was in a taxi today and I found it on the seat. It's some sort of a crudely drawn map.
Let me see it. It is a map. It's marked Central Park and it reads 20 feet from Bridal Path.
Oh, it's probably some rendezvous where lovers meet. No, it couldn't be. I know them all.
This arrow points to some sort of a cave. And look at these two words. Evam Enos. I wonder what that means.
Search me.
Wait a minute, Mrs. Odette. This is it.
What?
I'll plant this map in the trunk, and when Dad and Freddy accidentally discover it, they'll think it's a map showing the hiding place of some buried treasure.
But why will your father think there's a buried treasure there?
Because I know my father. All I have to say is that it isn't buried treasure, and he'll say, Margie, I know a treasure map when I see one. And then I'll let them dig and dig and dig until they get blisters on their hands.
Goody!
Mrs. Odette,
what?
There's just one thing that bothers me. Is it a very mean trick?
Well, yes. Good, we'll do it.
Well, Dad, now that you've had your fun, will you please get rid of this trunk full of razor blades?
Oh, sure. Give me a hand, Freddy.
Oh, it's rather heavy. Why don't you empty the blades into this empty carton?
Oh, good idea. Open the trunk, Freddy.
Okay.
Now tip it over.
Look at this piece of paper I found at the bottom of the trunk.
What is it?
I don't know. It's got lines and arrows and figures on it.
Well, let me see.
Yes.
Hey, you've got an old map, Mrs. Odette.
Let's not get personal, Bob.
Let me see it. It is an old map. Look, this arrow points to some sort of a cave. And in Central Park. Now look, this is the bridle path, but what are these two words here? Evam Enos.
Evam Enos? Whoever wrote that must be real stupid. Probably some backward guy.
Wait a minute, that's it.
What?
Evam Enos. Spelled backwards, that means move stone.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, it is backwards. Gosh, Margie, what do you know?
Straw cab.
Straw cab? What's that?
Backwards, spelled backwards.
Margie. Margie, stop clowning. This is a map of some sort. Freddy, where did you get this old trunk?
In a little second-hand place near the waterfront.
The waterfront? Say, maybe this is some sort of a treasure map.
Oh, Dad, that's ridiculous.
Margie, I know a treasure map when I see one.
What did I tell you, Mrs. Odette?
Gosh, maybe it's a pirate map.
Oh, Freddy, that's silly. Pirates in New York?
Sure, I've seen pirates in New York many times. Well, I have. Playing the Giants at the polo ground.
Dad, stop getting excited over some silly map. There's nothing to it.
Of course not. Now you take my fifth husband, Newbold.
I don't want him.
Neither did I, but I was stuck with him. Anyway, he once found a map showing the location of a quartz mine.
A quartz mine?
Yes. It was supposed to be loaded with quartz. Newbold went looking for it, and when I found him, the mine was empty, the quartz were empty, and Newbold was loaded.
Well, nevertheless, I'm going to investigate this. We'll go tonight when there aren't too many people in the park. Freddy, get a pick and shovel.
Okay. Guys, just think, Mr. Albright, we may strike a bonanza.
If we do, we'll split it.
Yes, we'll have a bonanza split.
Mr.
while our treasure seekers are on their way to Central Park to dig for buried treasure, we take you to the railroad station. On track four, the chief has just arrived, followed by a squaw and six papooses. And on track six, a train has just pulled in from Sing Sing prison. Stepping down from the platform is a notorious character known as Lefty Louie. He is greeted by his buddy, Flathead Nelson.
Hiya, Lefty, old pal. How's it feel to get out of stir?
Great, Flathead. Great. Smell that zone.
Hey, Lefty, did you like them books I sent you?
Fine books. You sent a guy in a big house. Vacation guide. The great outdoors. The open road. Why don't you at least stick a file in one of them?
Oh, well, anyways, you're out.
Well, pal, now that I'm out, let's go dig up that loot from that armored car stick-up we pulled 5 years ago. I can just taste that 50 grand. Where's the map?
I don't know how to tell you this, Lefty, but I ain't got it.
You ain't got it?
No, I ain't got it.
Flathead, are you trying to double-cross me?
No, honest, Lefty, I wouldn't cross you. I wouldn't cross no one.
For 50 grand, you'd cross the Atlantic Ocean in a paper bag.
I'm telling you, Lefty, I lost the map in a taxi cab today. But don't you worry. I memorized it. I got it all here in me little flat head. I can lead you to that cave blindfolded.
How's it coming, Dad?
Okay, we'll be under the rock soon. If we find the treasure...
Albright, I'm tired. You dig for a while and I'll grunt.
Let's see if we can move this rock now.
It's moving. And look, there is a cave behind it.
Come on. Come on, let's go in.
Gosh, it's musty and damp in here.
Dad, look, over there. Why, it looks like a metal box.
Oh, so it is. And there's lettering on it.
G-R-I-N-K-S. Grinks.
Why, that's the name of that armored car that was held up 5 years ago.
I remember, and they never found the loot.
This must be it. The crooks must have hidden it here and... What's happened?
Oh, a cave-in. Look, the entrance of the cave is blocked.
Gosh, it's so dark in here. I can't see a thing.
Oh, me either.
Neither can I.
Who kissed me?
I thought it was Margie.
Dad, what are we going to do?
Oh, I don't know.
What was that?
Oh, water dripping from the roof of the cave.
So what time is it now?
I looked at the luminous dial on my wristwatch.
Oh, what does it say?
Longine Wittenauer.
Oh, that grit. I can't stand that grit.
Please, let's not get personal.
Trapped here in a cave right in the heart of Central Park. And right above us, people are free, happy, out walking.
There goes a man.
There goes a woman.
There goes a little boy.
I didn't hear anything.
He's wearing sneakers.
I'm getting scared. It feels like the end. I can see my whole life going before me.
So can I.
And I can see my life, too.
Ah! Mrs. Odette, what's the matter?
I just saw mine.
Hey, listen. Wait a minute. Sounds like somebody's digging their way in.
Oh, thank goodness we'll be saved.
Okay, flathead. Turn on a flashlight. Well, well, well. Flathead, do you see what I see? Two dames, a guy, and a gopher.
Hey, that's funny. I don't remember them being here when we hid the loot 5 years ago.
Dad, these must be the men who held up the armored car.
That's right, sister. And now we'll just take that loot
and... No, fast, Lefty, and drop that gun.
Thank goodness the police.
Well, we figured Lefty would lead us to this loot. So when he got out of jail today, we followed him. Okay, man, come on, take him away.
Well, that's over with. Come on, we might as well go home. Well, Margie, after this experience, I hope you forget about superstitions.
Oh, don't worry, Dad. I'm cured. No more superstitions for me. Oh, look, over there in the grass, a four-leaf clover. I'm going to get it.
Margie, I thought you said no more superstitions.
Oh, but I can't pass up a four-leaf clover. That's bound to bring good fortune. I'm going to pick it.
Hello there.
Oh, hello, officer.
Well, those two criminals are on the way to headquarters.
Oh, hello there, officer. Look at the four-leaf clover I just found. It's going to bring me good luck.
Where'd you find it?
Right over there in the grass.
What's your name?
Margie Albright.
Address?
792 Park Avenue.
Okay. Here you are.
What's this?
A ticket for walking on the grass.
Well, that's my little Margie.
Now, Rosemary Clooney sings twice a week on CBS Radio. Enjoy Rosemary Clooney every Tuesday and Thursday evening on most of these same stations, alternating with the Perry Como Show, which comes your way every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, same time at the Star's address. There's pleasure in every note, and there's a special note of pleasure for all, because now Rosemary Clooney sings twice a week, and the Perry Como Show is heard three times weekly at the Star's address. My Little Margie stars Gail Soam and Charles Farrell and is based on characters created by Frank Fox and produced, directed, and transcribed by Gordon T. Hughes for Hal Roach Jr. and Roland Reed. My Little Margie is written by Jack Harvey and Lee Carson. Verna Felton is Mrs. Odette and Gil Stratton Jr. is Freddie. Others in the cast were Lou Krugman, Herb Vigran, and Ken Christie. I'm Roy Rowan. Be with us next week for another episode of My Little Margie.
Bing Crosby sings Monday through Friday nights on the CBS Radio Network.